Are we good? Now we're good. Okay. If you've got a Bible, I'm going to invite you to take it, or if you're on your phone, turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And we're going to read a few verses from Psalm 96 in just a moment, but I want to say that it's just an honor for me to speak to you for a few moments today about being God's family on mission. Being God's family on mission, whether it's here in Thunder Bay, whether it's now for Pastor Nathan in Halifax or myself in the Western Canada provinces. It's a privilege and an honor for us to be God's family on mission. Amen. Seeing people's lives changed by the power of Jesus Christ. So I've been married to the same woman for 28 years, and it's going pretty good so far. And we have three children. And together, what I would say about those 28 years is that it has been an adventure of learning to overcome some of our greatest fears in life. And it's also been a journey of witnessing some of our greatest adventures in life. And our three children have very much been part of the mission that God called us into over the years. Over a decade ago, my family and I launched out and began a ministry in Winnipeg called the International Place of Friendship. It was a ministry directed at first-generation immigrants and their families. And out of that that ministry, that street-level ministry, formed a brand-new congregation called New Horizons International Church. And my kids, my son Josiah, who's 24, he's now down in the United States. He's married. He went on a mission trip to New York with Pastor Nathan more than 10 years ago now, I think. My daughter, Samantha, 21, up in Edmonton, going to Bible college. And my daughter, Hannah, 16, who's still at home with us. What I would say about life is that, you know, it's changed a lot. My older two are gone. And now my youngest, Hannah, is the only one at home. And she's living large and in charge of the house. Anyone relate to that today? Living large and in charge. And on top of that, I've got my parents living with me now who are retired. So I'm also living the sandwich generation dream. Anybody in this room understand the sandwich generation dream with me? All right, I've got it going on both sides. Hannah's large and in charge, and my parents still think they're in charge, right? Well, when the kids were young, I had this rule. And so did my wife. We had to eat dinner together at the table every night and have at least a short time of prayer together. Any parents in the room, try to follow that rule. Well, we did that pretty well over the years, and now Josiah's gone and married, Samantha's gone to university. It's just myself, my wife, and my daughter Hannah. So what do we do? Well, we still pray together regularly. But what we do instead of going to the dining room table, and I hope there's a picture going to come up for this, we sit down in the living room with our plates of supper and we watch old reruns of Fear Factor together. And it's a lot of fun. And one night Hannah said to me, you know, Dad, would you be afraid to dangle from that helicopter, you know, and collect all those flags? I said, no, it should be okay because I know I'd be tethered to the plane, to the helicopter. She said, okay, well, would you be afraid to have to eat all of those bugs? And I said, probably not, because I know I could go throw it up later. And she said, would you be afraid of being submerged in that crate in the water and have to get out? I said, no, because I love the water. And Hannah said, after thinking about it for a moment or two, she said, then I guess the only thing you're truly afraid of in life is Mom. I don't know what you're afraid of in life. I know that I'm not afraid of my wife. But fear can often cause us as God's people in one way or another to kind of shrink back from actually being God's family on mission in the world today. You can think of reasons that cause you fear, right? From engaging in what God's called you to do with your life and together as a church. Psalm 96 compels us to fearlessly and joyfully join God in his mission of sharing the good news about Jesus with others as an act of worship. King David called God's people to sing with joy because God is near his people, and to share God's word fearlessly at home and afar with everyone. Now, this passage inspired the formation of a new mission initiative in Western Canada called the Sea to Sky Network. That's the work that I lead in the Western Canada provinces. And we call it that because it's a vision for multiplying the presence and impact of the gospel from the seashores of British Columbia to the big skies of Manitoba. And with that vision, we want to see 25 new congregations raised up and 100 new ministry leaders deployed for God's mission in the harvest. Psalm 96, if you've got it there with me, follow as I read a few of the verses that is the basis of this message today. David says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. You'd agree with that here this morning, right? He is worthy of our praise. He's to be feared above all gods, because all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, come into his courts, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness, tremble before him, all the earth, say among the nations, the Lord reigns, the world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. Now, if you've been watching the news lately, you know that there's many things that seem to shake the foundations of our lives from time to time, right? This passage reminds us again today, the Lord reigns, the Lord put the earth in our lives here, and because of that, we don't need to be shaken. Amen? You don't need to be shaken in life when Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. So David says, sing with joy, for the Lord is near. And King David says that we are to worship God with a new song. We're to ascribe to him ultimate worth-ship, because that's what worship is. It's saying, God, you're worth it above everything. You're worth it, Lord. You're worthy of everything that I can bring to you. David says that praise is due the Lord from all the earth, because the God we serve is not a local deity belonging to one tribe of people. The God we worship is the God who is God of gods and King of kings and put it all here, and he's worthy of our ultimate loyalty. We're not serving someone who's just God for us. We are serving and worshiping one who is Lord over all. And the psalmist ultimately alludes to the vision that will be true when we are in heaven together around the throne in Revelation 7:9. John says, and I saw gathered around the throne people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, worshiping the Lord and enjoying God's presence forever around the Lamb of God. And so David therefore urges God's people to proclaim the good news that the Lord saves. Worship is an act of proclamation. Worship is a witness to what we believe and say is true, that is then to become what we do as we live our lives on Monday morning. And Scripture repeats this command to sing a new song to the Lord over 400 times. So I guess it's important for us to do, because The God we worship is contemporary and relevant to the problems we have in life and the challenges that are all around you here in this neighborhood in Thunder Bay. And so when God revives our hearts and reorders our lives, what often happens is that new songs emerge from God's grace and power working in us, and those new songs of worship are what embolden us to then take a step to go be God's family on mission in the world around us. So what we do when we come together here on Sunday morning is not like a therapy group. It's a mission preparation time of worship around the throne of God. It's preparing us for what God wants us to do during the week. And there's lots of examples of these in scripture and church history. I don't have time to go through them all. But two of them that stand out to me in the 16th century, Martin Luther, a Catholic priest, said people need to be able to hear the gospel in their own language. And so he quit doing the worship service in Latin and translated the Bible into German. And people's hearts were set aflame. They heard the Bible being proclaimed in their own language. In the 19th century, William Booth said, "Why should the devil have all the good music?" And he stole songs from the taverns and bars in his local neighborhood and put Christian words to them. And those became the worship songs of the churches in his day. God delights in our worship and witness when it comes from hearts that are renewed by his nearness and empowered by his presence. How many of you here today say, that's what I want for my life and my church? I want us to be so empowered by the presence and filling of the Holy Spirit here every single Sunday that I can't wait to run out those doors and make a difference in somebody's life on Monday. How many of you are with me on that today? That's why we're here. Amen. That's why we're here. Worship fuels our mission. And I get to take a front row seat to some of this in Western Canada. My first assignment in the fall of 2021, when Dr. Hallett asked me to take on this enormous job of doing something about Western Canada, where the Wesleyan Church had previously had almost no presence, I had to go out to Victoria, British Columbia, and began working with our Mandarin-speaking congregation out there. I don't know if we have a picture of it or not. There might be one. But our Mandarin-speaking congregation out there 4 years ago was about to close, and our new pastor who was installed there, Pastor Chen, got to work with his LBA and his leaders. And they said, we are going to become a church of significant influence in the Victoria area, reaching Chinese people in this community. And just this Easter, they celebrated yet more baptisms of new believers, and over 100 people gathered on Easter Sunday morning. There's been this tremendous turnaround through being focused on the gospel in their community. That's what renewed worship does in our lives. It gets our focus outward on the needs of others around us. Worship is the thread that connects our head, what we think, our heart, how we feel, and our hands with what we do. But David brings to our attention one other thing, and this is my only other point this morning. And that is that worship that renews the heart and focuses our attention outward makes us bold to share God's word fearlessly right here at home in Canada and afar. Notice again what he says in verses 4 and following. For great is the Lord, he's worthy of praise. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, glory and strength. Bring an offering, come into his courts. And then in verse 10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Who's supposed to do that saying among the nations? Is it only pastors? No, it's all of us. People of God, say something among the nations living around you that the Lord reigns. David urges us to invest our lives into relationships with people from the nations around us and invite them into this covenant community that you have here and that is so wonderfully on display at Transformation Church. Declare his glory. Talk about how impressive God's character and goodness is. He's not like the gods of other nations who war among themselves, who rain down punishment from heaven for amusement, who neglect their followers, who even sleep on the job. These were all ideas the ancient peoples had about the gods who reigned over them. But David says, not so the God who created all things. Not so the God of heaven and earth. His glory is on display not only in the beauty of his creative word and power. His glory is displayed in the way he comes down to his people to save them and to transform their lives. I love the name of your church, Transformation Church. That's what you're about, amen? That's the heart of what this church is called to be about. God has come down. God doesn't stay up there somewhere uninterested in the stuff of our lives that's gone wrong and that's broken and that's, yes, sinful. God has come down in the person of Jesus and has walked into the mud and the muck and the dirt and the filth and the brokenness of our lives. And he says, come with me. I can make this right in your life. I can forgive and restore what's gone wrong inside of you. I can change you in a way that no one else can. That's why David says, the Lord is God of gods. What other God saves in this way? How many of you would testify to that this morning? No other God saves in this way. And so I think about 10 years ago, I was at Kingswood University with a guy named Mark Parker. I don't know if any of you know Mark, but he was here in the early days of Nathan's ministry among you. But before that, Nathan was a student at Kingswood. And Mark Parker invited me to go with him to Kingswood to put on a church planting Dragon's Den. Does anyone remember the show Dragon's Den? So Mark devised this plan that we were going to hear church planting project ideas from students at Kingswood about where they could plant a church and what they would do if they would go there. And there were several really good presentations, including Nathan's. And out of all the presentations we heard, Nathan and his team had the most compelling and heartfelt, biblically based, and passionate plan. For where? For Thunder Bay, amen? And I want to take just a tiny ounce of credit for the fact that God brought you here to spark a change in your lives, the lives of people that are around you. Why? Because God put something in the heart of Nathan to proclaim God's word fearlessly among you here. And now Nathan has prayed and has passed the mantle of fearless proclamation over to Jeremy. Amen. And so the future is bright because you have pastors among you who believe that God's word is that which can change people's lives the best. One final story is about a lady who moved from Ottawa to Red Deer, Alberta, to cowboy country just north of where I live in Calgary. I'm not from Alberta. I'm originally from the East Coast, but I now find myself in Calgary. Erica Burns is her name, and I think we have a picture of her to put on screen. In retirement, she decided God wanted her to do something fearless. And instead of using her retirement to just go to Florida and play shuffleboard in the winter, Her and her husband, Matt, moved to Red Deer, of all places, and they've begun a ministry online where Erica does messages online in targeted for the Red Deer area, speaking to people dealing with brokenness and addiction and needing recovery in their lives. Her and her husband, Matt, came out of a lot of that themselves, addictions and needing recovery, and they found wholeness in Jesus Christ. And so Erica does these videos, but the point of the videos is she's now gathering people who are seeking Christ-centered recovery in their lives and starting to meet with them as a group. And I call Erica our TikTok pastor because TikTok is her main platform for doing that. And she has over 50,000 followers on TikTok. Can you believe that? I think that's tremendous. And from that, she is fearlessly reaching out to people saying, there is hope, there's healing, there's recovery for you in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is another example of the kinds of church planters we have seeking to plant the gospel in new ways in Western Canada. We have a 2-year residency training program based in Calgary that seeks to equip and train up church planters for the work that they do. And another young family named Jesse and Cassandra Langford, who are also graduates of Kingswood, came to us 3 years ago, went through our residency program, and next month we're going to celebrate the first year anniversary of their church plant called First Act Church, which meets on a Friday night in a community center, reaching young families in a low-income neighborhood. And already we're seeing transformation in people's lives there as Jesse and Cassandra have given themselves fearlessly to plant the gospel in a neighborhood where Jesse grew up as a kid in a broken family, his parents divorced, and he left that neighborhood years ago, found his way to Kingswood, long story short, met his wife, got saved when he was 20 years old, and then he felt the call to go back to the neighborhood he grew up in to plant a church, and I'm the one who got the call on the other end of all of that so many years later, and I said, sure, come, and we trained him, and now he's doing it, and I'm so excited to see how God restores people to do his work fearlessly. And a side note, 2 years ago, his mom and dad got back together and got remarried. Isn't God good? What a miracle. What a miracle that is. So with this, I'll close today and then pray for you. David says, finally in verse 10, that God didn't make the world in a careless way. Nor did he make our lives in a careless way. Your life is not an accident. Whether your parents planned for you or not, doesn't matter. God saw you. God knew you. God loves you. God has a plan for you. He made us with intentionality and care. And he calls us to respond to this. His intentionality and his care, he calls us to respond to that with trust and resilience. To be God's family on mission with Jesus today means we can worship joyfully together every time we come here, because when we do so, we're not just engaging in a private religious exercise. We're engaging with the living God who wants to fill our lives with his presence and power so that we can be fearless in influencing the people that are on our street, in our family, or in trouble somewhere around us. We come to be empowered so that we can go and serve. And I encourage you today as God's people to remember this, that in God's economy for mission, everyone's contribution is needed. Everyone's contribution is valuable. And as you work together with your new pastor, I know we're going to hear great stories of new things that God's going to do. Do you believe that with me today? Let's pray together. Our loving God, thank you so much that in Jesus you came down into the mess and sin of our lives. You made a way for us to be healed and forgiven. And then you gave your Holy Spirit so that we could be empowered to fearlessly make a difference in other people's lives. I pray that your blessing and anointing will rest heavy on this church, and that through this church, people in the drug house next door, people across town who otherwise might not darken the door of a church, would feel compelled to find their way here, and that through our lives and through the ministry of Pastor Jeremy, there will be a new harvest at Transformation Church in the years to come. I pray these things in Jesus' name, giving thanks. Amen and amen. Before you go today, Pastor Jeremy has a card that talks about what Sea to Sky is doing. I was only able to give you just a snippet of what we're doing. And if that would interest you, just take one from Pastor Jeremy today. God bless you, everyone.
You ready for sermon number two? I'm joking. We are going to celebrate communion together this morning, and Jeremy asked if I would lead communion, and I'm honored to be able to do so. And so is the band coming up? You guys good to come up and play? Well, yeah. So just as a way of introduction to communion, recently communion or the Eucharist has become my favorite part of the gathering of Jesus followers. And I'll tell you why. Because when we gather as Jesus followers, most of us kind of we're in our seat and we maybe raise our hands and participate in worship, but then we sit, we listen to a sermon, and sometimes church can feel very much like you're an observer. Communion is participating in the gospel. And so I just want you to know, when you come forward to receive this little piece of bread, this little cup of juice, that's the broken body of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus. And when you come forward to receive that, you're actually participating in the gospel. And so recently, I've had this I don't know if I heard it from somebody else or I just came to realize it, but I've just thought about the many times where I've been preaching and felt like I didn't do a great job. Or I really wanted to express the gospel and felt like I kind of missed it. I don't think it came across very clearly. And more recently, I've just come to this realization. When we celebrate communion, we're actually participating in the gospel. It is the high point. It is the climax of our time together. And so on days now where I feel like I didn't communicate very clearly, or the gospel, I didn't feel like it came out really clear, when we're celebrating communion, I'm like, we're hitting on it. Like, that is the gospel. And so I just want you to know, as you come forward to receive the elements today, that's actually, it's an act of confession. And so it's an invitation for people that are Jesus followers. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you're invited to come. And coming forward is this, it is an act of confession. It's this confession that, like, Jesus, I need your cleansing. I can't make it to God on my own. My good deeds, my good works are not good enough. So I need to receive the sacrifice of Christ. It is an act of confession. And so if you're here this morning and you feel shame or guilt of anything that you've done, coming forward to receive communion, it's an opportunity to confess some of those things to God and then to receive what Christ has done on your behalf. We are confident that we're made right with God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And so receiving communion is actually something that gives us confidence that we've been made right with God, not because of our own strength, but all because of him. And so if something is coming to mind as you're coming forward, I just want to encourage you to confess that to him. It's a reminder to us of what Christ has done, but even more than a reminder, it's a participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, I'm going to invite you to come forward and take the bread and the juice, and you can go back to your seat. If you're not a follower of Jesus, here's how I would encourage you. Maybe you're here today and you're being challenged in some way, and you're hearing these, you know, this message about Jesus, and you're seeing this installation. If you're not a follower of his, I would just encourage you to just, where you are, while people are coming forward, just open your heart to God. Saying, look, Lord, if there's something to this, I want to hear it. I want to hear your voice. So I want to invite you to pray. And then the third challenge is if today you have come to believe in Jesus, maybe through the ministry today, through what's happening, your heart has been opened to Jesus for the first time, I would encourage you to come forward and participate in this act of confession, this act of receiving Christ. And as you receive Christ's broken body, shed blood, receive him in faith. And if it's your first time, we want to celebrate that. Come talk to one of the pastors that are here today, and I know we'd love to pray with you about that.